Blog Talk Radio.
Shorty in the whip, staring at the hublo. Suey in the six, same color nuvo. Shorty got the stick, Honda, Tudo. Talking like she white, high, she the thumo. I just wanna be mommy, uno. If I'm lay up at the beach, we're popping, chulo. We ball harder, we stay rock. We ice skate like we play hot. Everything great, attitude cocky. It's all laid out, hollow rock. In and out of state, move like a trucker. Ask about him, he a wild motherfucker. New York snowman, he's so frosty. That's your bro, get it off off me. We at the ball, this is sauce, team full of killers, don't ever cross me, niggas wanna toss me, off and soft, cause I'm in the bins of the 6 foot carpet.
Let's go, I set it off, I don't gotta let it off, it's something on my chest, I'ma get it off, hoes wearing clothes, go and get them all, bring your girlfriends, we gon' hit them all, black on black thing, German engineering,
let me help you visualize the words you're hearing,
I'm a fly nigga, airborne. Pop, you can hear, but don't hear wrong, you can't steer wrong, or the right path. Adding your bitch is what I call a right math. Audi or the Lincoln, or a D-Class. Or the manual, I pull up in that 3 fast. All me cash, I can spin it quick. So my, yeah, I can send it quick. She can bend it quick, what's the benefit? It's the Tony Sands, and it's been a hit.
Here we are, another Friday night, and we've got nothing to lose, and I tell you what, we got one hell of a show set up for you here tonight. We got the one and only Mr. DJ Big Stu going to be on tonight. I'm very excited about this because, you know, this guy, you know, he's very diverse. I mean, he's a musician, a filmmaker, a radio host and everything. And it should be a really fun and stellar show. And that the opening song was from his newest film, from the mixtape, actually, I think, called, and his film is called The East Side Story. That's his second film. And, you know, it should be an interesting, good show. But in the meantime, let me bring on my precious, precious co-hosts here. Mr. Michael D. Gosinski, and, Michelle L. Quinn, we all have middle initials, and you know what, there's just something hot about, a middle initial. So anyhow, I had the privilege of hanging out with Michelle L. Quinn in Cleveland here this past weekend. Had quite the fun time. Quite a blast, and I think that might be an understatement. So anyhow, hello, Mr. Gosinski, Dr.
Hola,
Quinn.
Hola, Senor Fugue.
How's it going?
I'm alive.
You're alive?
Oh, I'm fine. How are you guys?
Wow, you sound like shit, Dr. Quinn. Are you okay?
Would you... I was telling you guys, it was only a matter of time.
Matter of time.
What? You fell off the wagon or what?
Wait, say that again.
Is it a matter of time for what? You to fall off the wagon?
No. Well, no, happened like.
She was the little radio flyer, Red Wagon, in Cleveland.
Oh, yeah.
Let me tell you. Oh. See?
God, I'm hoping it's
she's,
not the one.
She's still trying to recover.
You,
she's still trying to recover from it. It really was a great show. It was a 2-day event, you know. The first day was, you know, at the Center for Rock Research. you know, yep. Steve Goldberg put together this wonderful, wonderful fucking show. And then the next day was the big crawl, you know, all over, like, Cleveland, the special, like, Tremont area. Very, you know, very nice.
Yeah.
It was. And, you know, I have to give Dr. Quinn some credit. She came up to the mic and read some stuff by Kat Conway.
And she rocked it.
She rocked it.
It was dynamic.
Well, thank you.
You've seen the video, Mr. Kaczynski. You've seen the video?
I didn't get. And, huh, I'm sorry.
Well, you know, I saw a video of her.
Yeah, that was one.
You didn't see the videos that may or may not be going around.
Right. Well, you know, it was really good, and we represented Nothing to Lose at the Lava Lounge, and the Lava Lounge was a great venue, and I feel lucky that we got it, and I got a mohawk and everything else. Yeah, but it was a good show. I mean, we had we had like all kinds of fantastic readers there.
We did.
Yes, we did at our venue, and we had Katie Daly, who's like from the area in Cleveland there, and we had Mr. Michael Grover, the Toledo Tiger. We had Timmy Murray. Gary, Indiana's like...
God, Murray.
he was so funny up there. He rocked it. He rocked it like a bitch.
Yeah, he did.
He did. Like a Gary, Indiana bitch. Jace Renner. And that guy, Jace Renner, he rocked it too. And, I just met him. I just met him like a couple hours prior to our reading there. I just met him at a different reading out on the sidewalk, and I thought he was great, and he decided to come to our reading, and he rocked it. And of course, we had Michelle L. Quinn, L, middle initial, because, you rock it now, you're hot stuff. And, you get the middle initial stamp now. Since
maybe I was middle initial before you were in diapers, man.
What are you saying? Before I was in diapers, I've been in diapers since I was born. What are you talking about? I'm still in diapers.
that's what I'm saying.
All right. And we had Ryan Snellman from Seattle, Washington. Great, great stuff.
Yes,
we got an encore
fun
performance. Yeah. And you know what? There was actually some asshole named Brian W. Dalfuget who went up there and cleared the fucking room. As I tend to do.
He did.
Did you do shit your pants?
I noticed as I was
watching the video of my reading, I noticed they started walking out at the very end when I was reading the bondage poem. So I may have paved the way. I don't know if I was offending their delicate sensibilities or not. I was trying not to. But,
Right.
So, yeah, but I noticed that they started walking out and like, oh, okay. But I guess finished the job.
Well, yeah. I'm really great at finishing things off.
Happy ending. You're good at giving a happy ending.
Oh, I'm all about the happy endings. Absolutely.
Yeah, but you are.
I mean, fuck life. If you can't have a happy ending, then what do you have, right?
Indeed. Indeed.
Dr. Quinn, what was your assessment of the whole weekend? I mean, it was quite the experience. It was really
exciting. it was my time, so I guess, I got my poetry cherry popped there, I guess, if you will. And
leaving all over the place, that's for damn sure.
I must be bold with it, but, I mean, I think I'm more happy with, the friendships and the bonds and the laughter and Jesus Christ. Oh, my God. The stupid shit we were doing. doing. You know,
just stupid shit.
After.
I don't think there was anything stupid about the weekend and the whole event.
I gotta say, I was kind of worried about you when, because you asked Tim Murray if you should bring snacks. That's a fuck snacks.
Oh, you know.
Bring liquor.
That was one I didn't know if Tim and I needed for the road or whatever. You know, well, you did see how the trip started, right? How Murray and I, how that whole thing started.
No, I was not watching how you guys started. I just saw that comment about snacks.
Oh, bringing snacks? Well, no, we had gotten, I'd gotten to his house. I was so proud. I was on time. Yay, it's great. And we get to the gas station 10 minutes from his house. And keep in mind, from my house to Murray's is about a good 40 minutes, 40, 45 minutes. And, you know, he's gassing up. I'm getting ready to give him gas money. And I go into my purse, and my wallet is not in my goddamn purse.
Ooh.
And I'm like, Tim, my wallet's not in my purse. And he's like, well, do you need your wallet? I'm like, yes, my money is in my wallet. We have to go back. So we had to double back all the way to my house so I could get my wallet, which was sitting right there on my dresser, because I had gotten money from a friend of mine, because tomorrow is Three Floyd's Dark Lord Day, and we were hoping that I was going to be able to buy him some Dark Lord beer, and so he gave me like $180, and that's why I came home, because I didn't want to mingle money. But when I took the money out, I didn't realize that I took my whole wallet with me when I ran it back upstairs. So, yeah. That's how the trip started, but thankfully I'm only like 5 minutes from the toll road. So, you know, we at least were able to get on and didn't have to, like, you know, go all the way back. But, yeah, it took us about 40, 45 minutes out of our way.
Whether
someone can kill me or not, I still haven't figured out yet. He didn't. He may someday. It may be when I least expect it.
Well, how was your drive? I mean, how long was your drive from Gary, Indiana, with Mr.
I will say that I think
Tim Murray.
It was longer back, or it felt longer coming back, just because I wasn't feeling well at that point. It was probably about five and a half hours,
uh-huh.
I think, of which I probably talked probably like 4 1/4 of those hours.
Right.
And I think Tim might have been overwhelmed. I mean, I didn't know the guy. So then, you know, I said, what, like 5 or 6 sentences to him at Applebee's one night?
I remember that night, yes, in Chicago, right? Right after, yeah.
Right.
Okay.
Guys were all, you know, tired and exhausted from the weekend's festivities, and, you know, I'm all like, okay, I'm not part of the clique. I'm just, you know, I got what's
up. Part of the
clique. So, you know, I sometimes I just start talking and then
uh-huh.
it just doesn't stop. So Tim might have been overwhelmed by my talking.
You know,
because,
I have found myself to be overwhelmed by your talking. But no, honestly, I had so much fun. I mean, I had so much fun hanging out with you in Cleveland and everything. You were, you made it so fun for me. You and Timmy, Michelle. It was a fucking blast. It really was, and especially when I was throwing, you know, cheese whiz covered Pop Tarts at the artwork up in the hotel.
Eventually,
talking about Abraham Lincoln as a deaf boy, but
yes.
Yeah.
No.
Yes, no. Abraham Lincoln. I digress.
I'm Lincoln.
All right. Well, yeah, it was a great show and all that. But you know what? Let's move forward here and let's bring on our special guest here tonight, Mr. DJ Big Stu. And like I said, like I mentioned before, I'm very excited to have him on. You know, he seems so diverse, you know. He's a musician, filmmaker, radio host. I don't know where he gets all the energy to do all this stuff, and I think it's going to be really interesting to to hear what he had to say, especially about his new film that just came out. Yeah, absolutely. His new film, East Side Story. So let's bring on Mr. DJ Big Stu.
Yeah. What's up?
Hey, DJ Big Stu. Good to hear from you, man.
Good, man. Thank you for having me, man. I'm a pleasure to be here.
Yeah, absolutely. I find it very, very, very fascinating and amazing that, I mean, you seem so diverse. I mean, you're a musician, filmmaker, radio host, and all that. That blows my mind, man. And, you know, tell us all about it. I mean, first of all, you know, just give us a quick intro about you. I mean, just let everybody know, you know, a little bit more about you and what you do. Give us a quick summary.
Real quick. real quick, my history is I started with from a old school breakdancing crew called the Floormaster Tots. I moved on from that to the graffiti, like with DJ K Slay. All of us used to run in the same circles in the same neighborhood doing graffiti. And then through then, I got into working in the studios, and I was working in a place like Calliope and Power Play when I started making beats and stuff like that. Moved on from there. Was with a group called Gangs of Funk in the early 90s. We were signed to Warner Brothers, but we got caught up in when they had the gangster rap thing with Calvin Budd. So we was one of the groups that got dropped. So we really never got a chance to come out. So after that, then I got into the TV thing. I was on a public access show in New York City with was a Fat Cat and Big Stu show, and I did that for like 7 years. I interviewed a lot of people. Yeah, I interviewed a lot of people, and actually I interviewed them, Alpo Martinez, which is who Cameron played the role in Paid in Full, and that's how he actually got that role, because I asked him who could play him, and he basically said Nas and Cameron, so that eventually they ended up giving Cameron the role to play him. And after that, I just went on some internet radio with Party Radio USA, .net, and I moved on and got on Blog Talk on my own show, and I always was working with artists through my neighborhood. I was working with kids through my neighborhood, whether it was with the music or with basketball, and so I just started putting together mixtapes and stuff, and it started getting the buzz, and we did the movie Somebody's Gotta Die.
Right.
We just took it like an experiment to see what we could do. Mo and Nat Nelson came to me, and they had written and directed it, and produced it and promoted it. We became number one, and we worked on the second one. That's how I'm here today.
Awesome, man. I highly respect that. I mean, that's a huge accomplishment. I mean, I have seen and watched your first film.
Mm-hmm.
That you mentioned.
Somebody gotta die.
Yeah, it's like, man, here's the thing. You know, I mean, I went to film school. I'm actually, I actually went to film school and, went through all that shit and all that. And, I mean, it making a film, it's such a hard, hard process. It's such a collaborative art form. It really is. And, I mean, what was the process like for you for, making this latest film and all that? I mean, what did it feel like? I mean, it's hard. You're not just by yourself, It's like, if you write a poem or you write a song or something, sure, that's you. But, man, when it comes to making a film.
It's a bunch of people.
exactly. It's highly collaborative. I mean, you may be the writer and director, but man, you are relying on so many other people to help bring this project, your vision to fruition, And I respect that, and I would love to hear, what the process was like for you, with your first film, and this, this latest one.
Well, to keep it real with you, the first film we learned, unfortunately, none of us went to film school. We just kind of won it. We just put it together, brought some cameras, wrote down our stories, and we learned the ups and downs through the first film of making it, and we still learned some through the second film and recording it. So I think it was a learning process for us. It was great. It actually what made it the challenge made it so fun for us. Where we even though it was hard, But it was so fun at the same time. We forgot about how hard it was.
Right.
Everybody came together. You know what I mean? The whole neighborhood came together to put both movies together. And, like, you know, those guys, ain't none of those guys in neither movie is actors. You know, these are just guys that we put together from the neighborhood and just said, let's do it. And we was fortunate to get the number one. You know, we looked at it like, wow, you know. Well, you know, we was lucky. So, you know, we're trying to, and it's kind of hard now because now we got to make East Side Story, you know, even better or just as good, which we think we have done. But, you know, it was a great experience. I ain't gonna lie. It was a learning experience. It was just a new step and a new, like, era of my life just to put me in a new situation, and I enjoyed it.
Right, yeah, it is. I mean, it is. Filmmaking is, you know, a wonderful, you know, sort of bonding experience when you are on a film shoot, you know, whether you have, I mean, real actors or just people, you know, that you know, or it's such a collaborative, you know, process.
Yeah.
And when you go through it, I mean, sometimes you're working, I mean, you're talking like, 17-hour days, you know.
17 hours, even more than that, man.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say it didn't have the stressful days, but then at the end of the day, like, every time I went home, I felt like it was worth it, you know. So
exactly, yes,
yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
It's worth it, and it's such a bonding. You grow so close to all the other, you know, actors and you know, your director of photography and everything else. It just all comes together, and you bond with these people that you work on.
Yeah.
You know, that's beautiful, man. That is
you
really
become family. You become a family for the
yeah.
6 months or some films a year, but you know, you become family with those people.
Absolutely,
that, you know?
Absolutely, man. Yeah. Wow. So, I'm just like dumbfounded by your energy and everything. I mean, it just, you know, your radio show, your filmmaking, and you're, you know, musician. I mean, wow, where do you find the time and the energy? I mean, where, what's your initial, like, inspiration? Is there any, like, particular, like, filmmaker or musician when you were younger, when you were a kid, that inspired you? What?
Actually, to be honest with you, I grew up under a group that was called Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde. It was kind of my project, because Dr. Jekyll became Andre Harrell. And they was like, you know, Dr. Jekyll was Andre Harrell, and they were the ones that was my inspiration. When I seen them come from two guys in my project, and they, you know, and they was like, just keep pushing. They went against, you know, my project was full of drug dealers and all gang members and all that. And they was just two guys who was average, but they pushed themselves so far to where one of them is now Andre Harrell, that now he brought us Puffy, Puff Daddy, and a whole bunch of stuff. But the other one is a producer of Judge Mathis. So between what I see between both of them is what that's my real inspiration, growing up knowing them and seeing them come from where I come from. And then now when I look at them, seeing them on TV and awards, they just tell me I could do it. So that's my main inspiration right there.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. Okay, so, wow, man. Damn.
Now, Stu, did you write these two films? Were you the writer behind them all?
I was the writer behind East Side Story. I was the executive producer of Somebody's Gotta Die, and then I basically promote and like handled the promotions of Somebody's Gotta Die. But East Side Story, I acted in. I had a role in, and then I also, directed, co-directed
now,
it with Mo Money and co-written.
Is it based on something of your life? I mean,
it's based on a lot of stuff that between me and Mo Money growing up in the same neighborhood. It's based on a lot of stuff. Just like we're trying to tell a story, like just recently, like I have to be honest with you, just recently we used to, like I said, we lose a lot of kids and try to keep them off the street and put them in the movie. Unfortunately, like a high percentage of the kids we used got caught in some big East Harlem drugs thing. So we tried to save them, but some of them we couldn't save. It was like already a little too late by the time it came down.
Man.
So we couldn't save him. So,
but in Somebody Gotta Die, you know, like 20 minutes into it, a kid got shot, and that seemed to be what the whole film was about, you know, the kid.
Yeah, and that's something that's kind of really happened in our neighborhood.
Right, right.
That's something that kind of really happened. And, you know, kind of like a real true story, that part of somebody's got to die. And that, you know, and that's just how, you know, a parent gets saw, his kid gets caught up in the street and he just lost his mind, you know. And sometimes you lose your mind and you run around and you do killing, but you still don't find the person that killed your kid or killed your family member. But then at the same time, you leave a whole track of blood yourself, and then you wonder, what did you do? What did you do? Was it all worth it?
Right. Well, hey, what's the writing process like for you? Because, you know, that's one of my favorite things to write is actually screenplays and plays.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
mm-hmm.
I mean, how long did it take you to write the actual scripts for these films? And what was that process like for you?
Well, being that we are writing about a lot of stuff that we know, the process don't be that long because
mm-hmm.
we know this stuff. We grew up through this stuff. So it's real easy motivation with it.
Right.
You know? It's real easy motivation
uh-huh.
with it. So any, but you know, so when we do it, it's like coming from the heart. So
right.
when we pick a film and say, we're going to do this film, we'd be so motivated about the film because we already know everything we want to do with the film.
Uh-huh.
So the process don't really be hard. It really be a smooth process, but it takes us to feel the film and know this is the film that we want to, that we really want to do, you know?
Right. Okay. Writing the film, that's one thing. And then when you're actually, because, you know, you're directing it and stuff,
uh-huh.
you got the script and everything, and when you're right there, boom, you're shooting a scene. How much, improv is involved or whatnot, or, you know, how much have you found changes, like, on the moment because, you know, something happens or something, you know what I mean? I know that has to be, like, you know, a big influence upon, the filmmaking process, you know, while you're shooting it, boom, something happens or someone says something different or something happens. It just, I mean, how much of it just, like, during the shoot just changes, you know, from the original script?
Yeah, that happened with us a lot because, you know, as we
yeah,
with us, that happened a lot, especially with that situation that happened because
uh-huh.
then we felt like we had to, you know, like the parents felt like, you know, can you tell our story in there a little bit?
Uh-huh.
So we had to go try to rearrange it. And we
right.
just want to get a message out, you know, at the same
right.
time, like to show that the main message about East Side Story is going to show that a lot of these kids you see running around and being in the street, they it's not like that's their plan. It's not like
uh-huh.
that's what they want to do. It's just that that's what life led them to do. So
right.
what could we do to give them another alternative? And that's basically what that movie's going to talk to you about. We talk about all this gun stuff and everything now,
uh-huh.
but, you know, it's two sides of it. Yeah, it's good to have a gun, but then when the guns get to the street, they get into the communities like the East Side Story, and
mm-hmm.
it shows you what happens when those guns get into the street and what turns a dream could turn into a nightmare, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
That's,
yeah, that's a great message, man. I took
some of that from Somebody's Gotta Die, too, you know. I mean, the kid was kind of shot in the crossfire, you know.
Yes.
It wasn't like it was aimed at, you know. It just kind of happened.
Yes, you know. And that thing that, unfortunately, where we from in East Harlem, that's things that happen, like, on a regular. We had that last summer happen in three different protesters, you know. And we actually came out and rallied and try to have a little stop the violence type of thing. But that happened in one thing with a little girl who got shot, and she was just walking by with her mother, and the gunfire went off. And that thing started a whole bunch of projects to end up warring with each other, cause, you know, over the little girl. So, and that led to, all the bodies between all these projects, because where we from, it's like a whole bunch of projects back-to-back to each other. It's not like some places in Brooklyn, you might have two projects and they go along, you take a train ride or a little walk, but not in East Harlem. Everything is like back to back to back. So you have five projects and then you walk two blocks away, then it'll be another three or four projects, and everybody ends up going to school together. And when the gang thing turns out, it's not a Crip and Blood thing where we is at. It's like a project thing. You got to represent where you from. You could be
uh-huh.
a Crip and a Blood, but, you know, if you're fighting against somebody in your project, you always got to come back home. So it's more or less a project thing where we from. So, you know, we just wanted to tell our story and let people see what's going on, and hopefully we could get some people with the powers that may be that say, yo, this is real. Let's try to help these people out and find. And there's a hood in every neighborhood like that. That's why we say, you know, all hoods is the same, you know. But, you know, all hoods are the same, but some are different because you know, there's different situations. Like, if you go to California, the Crips and Bloods are a little different than the Crips and Bloods in New York. But it's still the same poverty. It's still the same gun violence. It's still the same thing. It's just in a different flavor. So that's what we're really trying to get across in this movie.
Excellent, man. Excellent. where can people see this film, or is there any way we can people can order it online or anything? Is it available online to order the DVD or anything at this point? Or,
well, if somebody's got to die, you can always go to YouTube. We put that up,
Right.
Put it in YouTube. You can always go to see that. This one. So we're thinking it's going to be on Netflix. We're still handling some stuff. We're thinking it's going to be on Netflix, but we know it's going to be on Amazon. And like I tell people, we're taking control of. Nobody's going to bootleg us. We're going to bootleg ourselves. We're going to have this every African store and every Chinese store. We're going to do it ourselves. So,
hell yeah,
we're going to be everywhere.
That's great. Yeah, that's the way to do it. Yeah, bootleg yourself. Yeah, fuck them fuckers.
Beat them to it, you know.
Yeah. That's great. So, I'm envious and I'm very envious of you. I mean, you just seem so talented and just got your shit together. And I mean, gosh, I mean, your music, too. Tell us a little bit more about your music, if you don't mind inquiring about it.
The mixtape is actually doing good. We got it on .piff.com. We actually, so everybody out there listening, go download it, because we're 900 downloads away from being bronze. So they give you a bronze award, you get 25,000. So please, everybody listening, go download East Side Story. And, the music is good. We have Pusha T on there. He's the biggest star that's on there. Everybody else is from my neighborhood. I want our music to tell a story about our neighborhood. But Pusha T and that kid Breezy, they had a song that seriously fitted what we was doing. So that's why, you know, when I interviewed Kid Breezy before, and he gave us permission to use the song, and it fitted. So that worked out. But everybody else is from my neighborhood who grew up with, everybody I was working with in different, I worked with so many different artists, and they just came together and put the story together. And we just want to show everybody, because when people hear Harlem, we represent the Harlem Shake, but everybody think of Across. When you see Harlem, the first thing you think of is Across Lenox Avenue, because you see the Apollo, you see Sylvia's. But East Harlem is a whole different sound. It's a whole crisscross Fifth Avenue. It's a whole different another life over there, Spanish Harlem. And things are a little different. So we're just trying to get out. In the mixtape, we just try to get our story and our sound out there to the people.
So it's different than, you know, Sisters on the Grind, the other mixtape.
Yeah.
Because that one, they had like Sea Murder on it and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So it had different.
Yeah, that one was different. Actually, that one I did with a bunch of girls, Sisters on the Grind. And it was really cool because I wanted to show the sisters. All the girls at the time were sisters that was coming up in the underground, you know, in the underground world of hip-hop, and I wanted to make a mixtape, and they all have kind of came on my show, so I spoke to all of them, and they all was, like, willing to participate, and it worked out well. We kind of made a mark with it, you know, especially we had Ja Miss, who was, at the time, she was Kanye West's artist. So everything worked out. It was really good.
Nice. Yay. Yeah. Speaking of your radio show, tell us a little bit more about that. I mean, put it out there. I'm ready to tune in, man.
I mean, shit, I saw that you interviewed Mr. Servon, Young Bleed. I mean, people like that, big names.
I had a few people. I even had Sarah Farum, she was supposed to be Marilyn Manson's drummer's girlfriend. That kind of got me in trouble. So I had quite a few interviews. But the show is really about me. I play my remixes. You know, they say I'm the king of Kush music because, you know, I just got my own sound with music. I do remixes that's kind of strange. Like, I'll mix N.W.A. with Barbra Streisand or something like that.
Beautiful. N.W.A. with Barbra Streisand.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, shit. N.W.A. was one of my first I mean, NWA was one of my first and favorite rap bands ever. I remember when I was a teenager back in the late 80s, and I would rock that shit like loud, and my mom and dad fucking hated it. Like, fuck the police.
how do you mix that shit with Barbara Streisand?
Yeah, I know. And that's beautiful,
why
man.
My
Barbara Streisand too. Yeah.
Push music. My friends like, you got to be on something, man. You have push music, man. You know, this thing is kind of strange. It sounds all right. So I just accepted it, and I started playing it, and a lot of people liked listening to it. So that's basically between the interviews.
But now, you know, DJs are kind of on the by-and-by. I mean, you don't see them so much anymore, right? Is that, you know, people actually mixing records and shit like that? It doesn't happen, right, Stu?
I don't know. I just do it. I try to separate myself from everybody. Everybody gotta have something.
That's probably a good thing. Separate yourself from these. Yeah, yeah.
And I found there's, you know, some people out there that I appreciate it, so I keep doing it.
Right. So where? I mean, for anybody who's listening right now, where can we tune in to your regular radio show? What's the address?
I'm on Monday through Monday through Thursdays on Blog Talk Radio, BC Radio, and Friday night my wife Kay Nicole, she has a show Friday night, Ladies Night, and we on the BC Radio every night 10 p.m. Blog Talk Radio, we there doing it, and I'm doing them mixes and stuff like that every night. You can get there and also get at me, follow me at Twitter. If you got new music, I listen to everybody's new music, so you can send it to me. People that got new music out there, send it to me, djbigstu@yahoo.com. And if you follow me, I follow everybody back. So,
sweet.
Yeah, I'm
nice.
So Beef Stew Radio, that's what people should. I mean, God darn, how do you keep it up? Five nights a week?
Yeah.
That's hardcore, buddy.
We struggle with one night a week. Shit, what are you talking about?
you know that they come from Harlem, man. Harlem, we hustle, man. And, you know, we hustle in all different type of ways, and that's just my way of being a hustler right there. Staying busy.
Man. All right, so, hey, if you don't mind for a second here, I'm going to play another piece from your, what was it, GMOs? GMO,
Broga? GMO?
Yeah.
Which one? Set It Off?
You mind if I play that real quick for everybody?
Everybody, you play whatever you want.
All right. We're going to take a quick break and listen to this, and here we go. Be right back. Hey, stay tuned.
Rips and raps. It's been proven that without rips and raps in their life, that babies, you know, they get ornery, they get tired.
Yeah, they
cranky.
Seem a little uptight.
Babies didn't get their nap. They're cranky.
That one baby is crawling on the ceiling, and that other one's head is spinning 360 with green eyes. What's up with that?
It's okay, baby. Here, take some rips and raps. Here, I need a little rips and raps. Oh, that's a good baby. Yeah, that's a good baby.
Likes it.
Yeah, I like you. You like rips and raps, don't you, baby? Good baby. The following program is intended for mature audiences. Listener discretion is advised. Vagina!
Two on your face. Episode 38. Stand on your face. Two on your face. Rip and rap. The Whistle and Vixen podcast. Yeah. We got a Neo in the house from the Howling Wolves. Occupied underground and they're wearing their wool.
Yeah, that's right.
Rips and Raps, the Whistling Diction Show, starring Loki and Nick Fury.
Normally nimble Nancy's Nantucket.
I think I played the wrong clip.
Norm nibbles nonchalantly.
And I apologize for that. Shit. All right, yeah.
Yeah, what's
anyhow
the matter with you, Brad?
I played the wrong
clip. Right clip, damn it.
All right. So, you know, I'm going to go ahead and play the original clip from, this is set it off from the East Side Story mixtape.
Are you sure this time?
Oh, I'm sure. I apologize for that. Here we go. Ready? All right. One, two, three, four.
Shorty in the whip, staring at the hublo. Suey in the six, same color nuvo. Shorty got the stick, Honda, two-door. Talking like she white, how she could do more. I just wanna be mommy, uno. From lip at the beach, with poppy, chula. We ball harder, we stay rock. He ice skate like, we play hot. Everything great, attitude cocky. It's all laid out, Apollo rock. In and out of state, move like a trucker. Ask about him, he a wild motherfucker. New York snowman, he's so frosty. That's your bro, get it off of him. We at the ball, piss saucy, team full of killers. Don't ever cross me. Niggas wanna toss me off and soft. Cause I'm in the fins of the 640 coffee.
Let's go. I set it off, I don't gotta let it off. If something on my chest, I'ma get it off. Hoes wearing clothes, go and get them off. Bring your girlfriends, we gon' hit them all. Black on black thing, German engineering.
Let me help you visualize the words you're hearing.
I'm a fly nigga, airborne. Pop, you can hear, but don't hear wrong. You can't steer wrong, put a right path. Adding your bitch is what I call a right math. Audi or the Lincoln, or a D-class. Or the manual, I pull up in that 3 fast. All me cash, I can spin it quick. So my gal, I can spin it quick. She can spin it quick, what's the benefit? It's the Tony Sands, and it's been a hit.
Though I'm really intrigued by the whole filmmaking process, and I'd like to ask what do you have a specific DP? I mean, by that I mean director of photography and all that, an editor. Do you edit, or do you have an actual editor? I mean, what? Yeah, I'm
one film we use. One person. I actually don't really know his name, but this film, the East Side Story, we using Keith Patterson. So we don't have nobody really. People get whoever we come together with the project with.
Uh-huh.
We know a lot of editors, and we just write this film right here. Keith Patterson from P-Dash Media. He's basically the editor and the one who's taking care of all that with that for us. And me and Mo handles all the shooting and being on the shoot and stuff like that.
So wow, okay. So when you're shooting, you're pretty much the director, and you're also pretty much the director of photography too as well.
Director of photography.
That's hardcore,
actor.
Buddy. That is hardcore.
Sometimes security, everything.
Wow. See, that to me is true hardcore guerrilla filmmaking. Guerrilla. No, I don't mean out there, point and shoot and get your shit done. Wow, that's hardcore, man. And then you have a lot to do with the editing too. Then what about? I mean, how much were you involved with the editing process as far as East Side Story?
It's me and the editor. We sit there and I put it together and show him.
Mm-hmm.
Stuff I want, and then he suggests what would be better, technically wise, and that's how
right.
we go into it. Basically that's how we go through it.
And see, that fascinates me that you have no formal background in the whole filmmaking process. You're just learning on the fly and just doing. I mean, that's amazing, man. That's really fucking amazing. Seriously, wow. because, you know, making a film is you know, it's not an easy thing to do. And for, you know, for you to do this and put it together, well, I mean, that's just, so, I mean, how's it been for you? How's this journey been? Has it been a journey for you? I mean, what?
It's starting to become a beautiful journey. In the beginning, it was something like, you know, going through it, you wonder, you know, you question yourself, like, can we do it? But as you get towards the end and everything starts to come together, it becomes a beautiful journey.
It is. It's like I know what you mean. I know exactly what you're talking about. It's sort of a, I don't know, kind of a euphoric kind of feeling. It's like, wow, you know, all that hard work, the hours and hours, you know, writing, editing, directing, acting, and it all comes together, and you see that final product, and it just, you sit there and you watch your own shit over and over and over. It's like,
over and over,
I did this. I had, you know, this is my little masterpiece. Yeah, that, see, that's beautiful, man. That's beautiful.
Yeah.
It really is. Wow.
Yeah, that's exactly how I be feeling too.
Oh, well, shoot, man. Really excited and happy to have you on here. And, I mean, do you have anything else you would like to talk about, you know, East Side Story or your, you know, your work as a, you know, radio host or anything? I mean.
Well, I just want everybody out there to support the show, Boat Classic Sports and Basketball Education in East Harlem. You know, it's a program that keeps at-risk men, young men. Well, we've got girls in it, too, from the ages 8 to 19 in East Harlem. And we have, you know, go to the Showboat Classic documentary on YouTube, and you can see the story about them and about what we're doing over there with the kids, helping kids get through college and you know, mainly college and the NBA through basketball. So, you know, that's just something that we do on the side other than music. So I just want people to go out there. Please check out the Showboat Classic documentary on YouTube.
Excellent, man. You really are, you know, I mean, to me, very proactive and doing positive things. And that's the, you know, that's the kind of stuff I like to hear and I like to talk about and share with everybody. And, man, that's really inspiring. I really, really dig it. I really do. Filmmaking, musician, you know, blog talk radio host. 5 nights a week.
Yeah.
That's cool that your wife helps out on Friday nights, though, right? Like you said.
Yeah.
I'm gonna start tuning in, buddy. I mean, like,
Anytime, man. Just let me know you're there, man. I'll bring you on the air.
Oh, you don't want us. Yeah, you don't want my dumb ass on there, but I'll listen.
That's all right.
Wow.
I like to have fun.
Well, I do too. Believe me. I just got a mohawk live on stage in Cleveland, Ohio. So, well, wearing an adult diaper. But anyhow, seriously, man, this has been great, and I appreciate you coming on the show and sharing
this with us.
You know what? Feel free to call in any time when we have one of these shows going on, and you know. I'm excited about, you know, your filmmaking and your music, everything.
I want to know, who is Darian George? At the end of So He Gotta Die, it was, you know, R.I.P. Darian George.
I think that's one of Mo's friends that got killed at the time. Yeah.
Well, I saw the name pop up, and I was like, who's that?
Yeah, well. If you don't mind us, or if you don't mind me asking, could you tell us a little bit more about Mo Money? I mean, Mo Money is.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I mean.
Yeah. Well, Mo was a part of. He was on the label back in the days, Stepson Records, and the group called Trouble Neck 7. It was them, Miss Jones, and Dougie Fresh. That was on that label, and then he was a member of that. Then he left from there to go be part of the Die Hard record label. which had the Lox and Mace and all that before Puffy had them. That was the record that was the underground record label that they all created together. And everybody went to Bad Boy, Mo Hell Out, he didn't go to Bad Boy. And he just, you know, he just stood through. So he did a lot of songs with them. He did a few songs by himself, and he did a few things. He was out there with the guys in Mississippi, Slim Pimp, and those guys. He did a few joints with them, and now he's over here with us at Hellgate trying to, you know, really put himself out there, because the world always wanted Mo Money, but he really always just had got, like, a lot of features. He's known, but everybody knows he was featured on this song, or featured on that song. So now we're going to really put out his first album. And the movie was, the movie and the mixtape was a start just to show everybody his sound that's coming.
Nice. All right. Man. Like I said, man, I'm very, very impressed, and I'm very envious in a way. I don't know how you keep up, you know, a show 5 days a week on Blog Talk and make films and do all this other stuff. That's awesome. And you're so proactive too. You know, you're really moving forward with stuff. So it's just very impressive.
Thank you.
Do you have? Oh God.
I
was to ask if, and forgive me, I have kind of a head cold or something, so if I'm being a little dim here. If you had your choice, would you rather produce movies or produce music? Which do you like better?
Wow, that's crazy. It would actually have to be which one was having a bigger check at the time, to be honest. I'm not going to lie. I love doing them both, so it would have to be which one was paying the more money. You know, I couldn't decide from my heart. I've been doing music longer, and I'm naturally known to music, but since I've been into the film, I want to do more film, and I got a lot more plans for the film, so I'm all here right now. But if it was more money for my family with the music, then that's where I got to go, you know?
Right.
For sure. Absolutely.
So what is next for DJ Big do as far as, like,
I got about 4 more mixtapes dropping. I got a mixtape dropping with that's dealing with DSW Entertainment, that's dealing with Ratchet City. A lot of the guys from Louisiana, friends of mine, they upset about, you know, this whole Ratchet thing going on. They feel like everybody took their style, so they're putting out a mixtape which I'm hosting, which featuring Fun B, Hurricane Chris, Funk Dog, a lot of his Manigault, and a lot of those guys that was part of that, all of Louisiana. I even think Lil Wayne is supposed to have a song on there. So I'm just waiting to see what the stuff they send me. I'm doing that, and I got a couple of guys that's on the East Side Story mixtape, Glory, and Mo Money, and Tony Stans, and then they're dropping their mixtapes, and then I have somebody out in Vegas, Lord Tremaine. He's dropping his mixtape in June. I'm hosting that. Got a couple of gigs coming up, and then me and Mo is already, we're starting to shoot the next film next week.
Next week?
I'm going to come back with that. Yeah, next week we're shooting that. And that's going to be a real nice film. I'm going to come back with a surprise. I can't tell you about it, but when I do come back, it's going to be nice. Give me a couple. I should be back telling you about that film in another 3 months. So.
Man, where do you find the energy? How old are you now? I don't know where you find the energy to keep all this up, man. That's phenomenal to me. That's really, really awesome. Wow. So next week, you're going to start shooting the next film?
We're already on the way. Mo wrote the script to that one. It's a story that's really personal to him. And we're just going to start putting it together starting next week.
Wow, that's mind blowing. Actually, I'm sincerely impressed. I got to tell you, wow, man. All right, so this has been very, very fun. And usually, when I have guests on the show, I like to ask them a few like just fun interview questions.
So,
just fun off the cuff kind of sort of a. Interview question. So, would you like to? Would you like to? I mean, you don't have to volunteer for this. It's scary, but I feel like you're part of the family now, though, and I feel like you might. I feel like you might enjoy it. Are you ready? Are you up for this? You were before we let you go. Here, just this funny like
interview questions here?
Mm-hmm.
You didn't sound so sure there, buddy. All right. Mr. DJ Big Stu. Interview question number one. Okay. Do you make eye contact when you make love?
Wow. I don't know.
You don't know? Or does it depend on who it is?
Yeah.
You don't have to answer if you don't want to. You just say, I pass. It's just a stupid little interview thing I do with everyone I have on. So.
Yeah, he does it with everyone.
All right.
Next question.
Drum roll.
Okay, here, question number two. Is it ethical to like on Facebook your own post? You know, do you do it? If not, do you know somebody who does?
Yeah, I know somebody who does. I do know somebody who does.
Does it make you giggle?
Yeah, it makes me giggle.
Yeah, it makes does me. You, I don't. I don't really understand it, but it looks crazy when you see the person. They were the only person liking their own post.
Yeah, I know. I've seen it over and over.
The only person. Shit.
It cracks me up. When I see people post their, post something on Facebook, and then they're the first person to like it.
Yeah. Some people don't quite get it.
Oh, man. All right. Well, you know what? Thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, it's been great, and you're a good sport, and you really, like, I sincerely am excited about and envious of all this wonderful stuff you have going on and how proactive you are. And, there's something to be said about that, man. It really is. I mean, it's awesome. And you know what? Gosh darn it, I'm going to start tuning in to your show every night.
Let me know you're there, man. I'll give you a holler.
That would be sweet. Absolutely. I mean, wow. I don't know how you find the energy or time, but, man, I think it's beautiful. It's a beautiful thing.
It's a beast.
It is. It's beautiful what you're doing and all that, and your filmmaking, music, everything. Just awesome, man. And thanks so much. Thank you so much for coming on the show. And telling us about your whole process and everything else. Just wonderful, and I appreciate it. And I hope the show helps, other people connect with you and see what you're doing. And, yeah, man, thanks so much.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it. Thanks for letting me spread the word. Thank you.
Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah, thanks for being on, man.
All right.
Absolutely.
Take it easy.
All right.
Cool. Take care, man.
All right.
Good night. Good night, DJ Stu. All right. So now we're going to hear a diesel train. That was a diesel train. Yeah, and we just had a wonderful conversation with DJ Big Stu talking about his new film coming out, which is out, I guess, East Side Story, and everything he's doing. I mean, amazing. I mean, do you not agree, guys? I mean, just phenomenal.
I watched Somebody Gotta Die Tonight on my TV. With the Blu-ray, you can sync it up and watch them on TV through YouTube. And it was real people. It was gritty,
right,
raw
real
filming.
Exactly. It almost seemed like I've watched it too, and it almost seems like some sort of reality TV show. I mean, it seemed real, like just like you said. I agree. Yeah.
Yeah, it was gritty, raw filmmaking.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, at its best, and so I really liked it for what it was.
Yeah, absolutely. Me too. You know, and I guess, you know, I'm looking forward to seeing East Side Story and see how that came out. I haven't seen that yet. Guess I'll have to buy it or, you know, figure that out. But, wow, yeah. Fascinating. Very fascinating guy. I mean, he has so much going on, it seems like.
Oh, the guy's a workhorse, man.
Absolutely.
Jesus.
Absolutely.
Movies, music.
I know.
You fucking name it.
Jesus. I mean, how? That's my question. I was just like, totally blown away and dumbfounded. It's like, wow, how's this guy do all this stuff? And he seems so positive and just so, you know, into everything and sincere and proactive. It's like, wow, damn. You see, there are people out there doing their art, doing their everything, you know what, and it's not about their ego or anything. It's about they're really trying to send out a message, a positive message, and do something positive.
Well, he kept emphasizing the kids. The
right.
Kids that were stuck in his projects.
Uh-huh.
And I think that was kind of the message with, you know, the previous film is, you know, about these kids that are stuck
right.
in the situation. And,
right, exactly.
Shot, everything goes bad.
Right.
You know.
And, yeah, I mean, gosh, wow. I mean, sincerely, wow. It blew me away. He's very unique in a lot of ways. You know, you don't meet a whole lot of people or get to interact with a lot of people like that. You know, I mean, his message seems sincere. His, you know, filmmaking, his music, everything, it's like he's, you know, he's trying to move forward and do something positive. Man. So anyhow, all right. We are now into the second hour of our show. I think it's just about time for Dr. Quinn to start giving us some sort of dating advice.
Well,
are you juiced up on wine, Dr. Quinn?
I am not juiced up on wine this evening, gentlemen.
Oh. What are you juiced up on, Dr. Quinn?
Huh?
Should we
what
have
are
it,
you
okay?
juiced up on?
I'm not juiced up on anything this evening, gentlemen. Do I need to be juiced up on?
Not
David,
even.
I want an update on your situation. It's been 3 weeks. Man.
Yeah, it's been. Yeah, yeah. I just saw you this weekend, and yeah, you seem pretty happy.
Oh dear.
Well, what?
Where did we leave off last time?
Last I remember, he was with some bitch that was bad news.
Yes, well, there is, I remember. Okay.
Bad news,
there
bitch.
Was actually an update, which was kind of funny because, okay, so Tuesday, I get a text asking me how my weekend went.
Ooh.
And to which I was just like, well, I partied with friends and, you know, that was a good deal. That was all it needed to be and stuff. And I'm like, how about you? And evidently the girl dropped on him that she is still in love with this dude out in California. And, you know, she's hung up on him and she's okay with being alone right now. But I guess they've entered some sort of friends with benefits thing.
Oh, yeah.
and I'm shocked that he has decided that he is not going, he's like, I'm not sticking around for this much longer. and which I was pleased to hear, because at first it sounded like, oh, I'm in it for the long haul, and I could change her, and she's going to fall in love with me. And I'm like, oh, honey, no, don't do that. But he evidently is not going to, so I give him props for that, but I just thought it was kind of funny that, after I come home from being away for the weekend.
So you keep getting the sex.
Do I keep getting sex here?
Maybe so.
May I finish my statement here?
Oh,
yes, please.
Go ahead, Miss Queen. I'm sorry.
What I was going to say is that we had agreed that, with this girl and everything, he wanted to be good and so on and so forth. So we agreed that sex was not going to happen, and it hasn't. But I'm hoping that he stops chasing her soon, because then that means I could start having sex again. So.
Oh, God.
All right.
So there you go. There is my update.
Well, I don't know. It just wasn't quite explicit enough for me.
There were other explicit things which I may share privately, but
privately.
I won't share them.
Private chat with Quinn. We have to set it up and charge admission.
Yeah. How much do you charge for that?
I don't. Oh, you two.
it can go towards the fund, towards, a small press, something.
Oh, my God.
God has nothing to do with it. let me just be explicit about that right now. So, I can't even keep a straight face right now. I'm a piece of shit. I'm going straight to hell. let's just do the Pledge of Allegiance real quick, okay? And then we'll come right back. Ready? I'm on.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
You guys do realize that is actually Abraham Lincoln's actual voice.
It is not Abraham Lincoln.
Yes, it is. I swear to God. I know it was. I know it is.
Got that on recording.
People don't lie on the internet, do they? I mean.
you're right.
Everything you read on the internet is real. I mean, it's legit. I mean, yeah, that's Abraham Lincoln.
Absolutely. Hey, speaking of the internet, I just got a request from somebody to relaunch the vaginal mesh discussion.
Whoa.
Vaginal mesh, huh? You gonna go there?
Vaginal what?
Are you having vaginal prolapse again? Are you like pooping out of your
scooter? I was prolapse. I just happen to know that people use mesh in fixing prolapsed organs.
Really?
This was an actual discussion. Yes. You didn't know that?
I don't know. People stalk you and ask you, well, how's your vaginal prolapse doing today? I've got a mesh. How's your mesh? Let's mesh together. Is that what you're telling me?
I don't even know how that conversation came up last weekend. I just know I walked into it.
You walk into a lot of things,
Dr.
Quinn.
Vaginal prolapse.
So, just okay, Just to clear the air. Come on, Dr. Quinn, come on.
At this point, it's a inside story, and every listener who wasn't at that event doesn't know what the fuck's going on,
exactly.
Including me. So
exactly. I don't even know what's going on. I don't even know the whole story. I was getting ready to ask Dr. Quinn to elaborate on, you know.
Yes.
Your vaginal. Do you have vaginal prolapse? Do you actually?
I do not have
computer?
Vaginal prolapse, as far as I know.
Is it like a blue cheese? What is it?
Oh God, that's gross.
Oh,
okay,
vaginal.
You're gonna make me dry heave now. Come on.
Prolapse, woman, is when when your uterus has fallen far.
Keep going.
Why
will
you shut the hell up? Okay,
keep going. This is great.
Go ahead.
Priceless.
When it falls that it should, and sometimes kind of falls out of the body, too.
So, like it's hanging out between your legs? I'm gathering that correctly, hanging out between your legs.
Jesus Christ.
Oh, Jesus. What kind of mesh do you
have these things?
What kind
because
of mesh
do you
have
these things?
I personally think it's going to dangle outside of your body.
So your uterus. But what causes that?
Childbirth can cause it. That's the most likely culprit.
But you don't have children, so why do you have that?
She has a cat. She has a pussy.
Well, wait a minute. Why do I think that I'm one that's got the prolapse? I don't have that prolapse or uterine prolapse.
I thought you were saying that you had it.
No! Why did I say that?
Okay.
Wow. Okay.
I said I walked up into a conversation about this.
Oh.
And then
you walked into a conversation. That's not the only thing you walk into.
I thought
I was hanging out with you all weekend.
I saw
you walk into a lot of shit.
It was a problem.
What now?
Oh, God.
I thought it was a problem you had. You were walking around with this prolapse thing. It was,
and it was dangling between your legs? Oh, Dr. Quinn. I love the shit out of you. You're so damn funny.
I wasn't at the event this past weekend, so I didn't know about your vaginal status.
Be outside of the fact that we walked conversation about prolapse.
All right, you know what, guys? Here's the thing. Next Friday night, we're not going to have any serious, interviews or anything like that. We are all going to talk about fake profiles and shit we have put online. I mean, it's overdue.
The profiles.
Yes, yes. Dr. Quinn, you need to make some profiles. Some fake profiles on some dating sites, and we're all going to report back and talk about it. And and I'm sure it's going to be pretty funny as hell.
On your profile sites, Quinn, you probably shouldn't mention the vaginal problem.
Maybe
I should.
Mayo, it's not good.
What?
Yeah. Don't mention vaginal prolapse on your your fake profiles. But, you know, I've got one going, at least. And I know.
Don't mention the vaginal probiotics are bad.
not going to mention any, fake names or anything. But, next Friday night show is going to be all about, dating and trying to find people to date on the internet. And we're going to...
Date.
Well, fuck, I don't know anything about dating anymore. I'm too old for that shit. Been married too long. But
dating,
I have created some fake profiles just for the sake of this.
Dating or casual encounters, or rather intimate encounters.
Or how about dating, casual encounters, or whatever. Here's the thing. Just funny interactions with people.
The problem I always have with casual encounters is who goes up to the, the tenant and asks for the key to the gas station bathroom. That's the problem I have. We can never duke it out. Who goes up in the mobile station and says, excuse me, can I have the key to the bathroom? So I don't do casual encounters.
God damn. Gesinski,
Doing in the bathroom?
Probably pissing or pooping. What do you do in the bathroom? At a mobile station.
Well, that's what I'm trying to understand. What would be the problem? Okay.
I'm not the one who has prolapse, okay?
Yeah, exactly. Prolapse and all that good stuff. Wow. I tell you guys.
Do not apps.
Wow. You know what? I think that was Dr. Quinn's vaginal prolapse, just getting flushed down the toilet there.
I wish if I had a toilet like that, it would never need a plunger. That's an amazing toilet.
That very aggressive toilet. Yeah, I like aggressive toilet.
Yeah, what I have is 5 seconds. Boosh. That's it. Done.
That was more like 17 seconds.
Wow, gentlemen, I think I stand corrected.
You stand corrected.
Oh, why? What?
Yeah.
What happened?
Yeah. Did you just get a text from your
no,
boyfriend?
No. It has nothing to do with him. Female prolapse is characterized by a portion of the vaginal canal protruding from the opening of the vagina.
I'm going to vomit now. I'll be right back.
Only if we can document it and see it live online somehow.
Yeah. I will wait.
That gentleman.
Oh, Lord.
So part of your vagina is hanging out?
The vaginal canal is...
You Googled it, didn't you? Just admit it. You Googled it.
I Googled it because I wanted to know, and now I know the type of prolapse there are, too. Would you like to know?
You Googled it because you are like the Twitter queen. I mean, that's something I learned about Dr. Quinn over the weekend. Oh, she could stay
amazing.
Off her phone and off Twitter and Facebook.
I did. Would you go and look last week to see how many tweets I tweeted from Cleveland? You go and
let me Google it. How many tweets?
In front of me because Dr. I was not tweeting.
I'm Googling it right now. Dr. Quinn.
You do that.
Tweet.
But in the meantime, you want to know what types of prolapses there are.
Yeah.
Okay, we have bladder into vagina.
Mm-hmm.
We have the small, listen to you, you can barely keep a straight face. Small intestine into the vagina.
Uh-huh.
What? What? Talking into the vagina, what? I didn't catch that last.
Prolapses.
Oh, okay.
We have rectum into vagina.
Ooh. That's
you
shitty.
Have urethra into vagina.
Uh-huh.
There is uterus into vagina.
Oh, God.
And then there is vaginal vault, which is the roof of vagina, and that's typical after a hysterectomy.
Oh. Have you had one of those?
No, I have not had a hysterectomy.
No.
I did. I've had two hysterectomies at this point.
Fantastic.
So what kind of vagina prolapse do you have, Quinn?
I don't have any kind of prolapse.
So you don't
I
poop out of your vagina.
The whole point was
you, don't
you
poop...
had a prolapse, and you showed everybody it last week.
You keep
week.
Saying that I said that, but I never said that. I walked into a conversation about it. That is it.
Oh.
Wow. See what happens when you walk into something? See? Wow.
Indeed.
Here comes a diesel.
Yes,
you walk into something, you get a prolapse.
Indeed. Something like, yeah.
Here comes the goddamn diesel train again, guys. God. And okay, yeah, we just had a diesel train. and yeah, Quinn has talked all about her. I can't even keep a straight face at this point.
Vaginal prolapse. We joke about this, but Quinn probably does those Kegels, you know.
God.
Don't underestimate the Kegels, my friend.
Exactly. See, I do it. Her vagina could probably bitch smack her.
Name me one woman in this world doesn't do Kegels.
Oh. And does that enhance your sexual experience? I mean,
I don't know about mine.
You don't. What do you mean you don't know? Come on. Sure you know. Does it?
Well, Brian, it's supposed to enhance the guy. You know.
Right.
I mean, it's
okay.
Control.
Well, you don't think it would enhance the experience for the female as well?
I never thought it would, but
you didn't, huh?
Go ahead, Quinn. Would it?
What?
Let's know.
No.
Would Kegels enhance the female experience?
I suppose. That's kind of a delicate thing. Do you really want me to say this out loud? Or?
Yeah.
At
this point.
I don't know.
I suppose if you are dealing with someone who is a little bit, I don't know,
a little bit what?
Pants,
a little
opposed
what?
To other gentlemen.
A little what?
Kegels tighten that up to, you know.
Okay.
You know.
I don't know. Any time I've ever heard a woman talk about she's done Kegels and all this stuff, I get scared. I think, oh, Jesus. I'm worried her pussy is going to bitch smack me or something. I don't know. She can control it in these weird ways. I get terrified. I don't know.
Man, I'll tell you what.
Oh, well.
I'm getting all tingly talking about all this Kegel.
I bet you are, Brian.
Wait, yeah. You guys keep, you know, just talking on and on. I'm sitting here, I'm surfing internet porn. So,
I bet you are.
Internet porn.
You're
looking
at manspank.com.
Speaking of which, like I said, next week's show is going to be all about, you know, the whole fake, you know, making these profiles and all that, you know, trying to get reactions from strange and crazy people.
I got about 900.
Yeah, I bet
got about
you do,
900
you sexy,
messages.
I bet you do, you sexy bastard.
Oh, wow. It's my chest.
Yeah, I created one on Cougar. What's it called? CougarLife.com.
I don't know. I'm not allowed.
I posted a picture of me from when I was like an actual real picture. I know you posted some sort of other guy's picture or whatever for your.
Yeah, no, it's some other guy with the some mullet guy.
Some guy without a shirt and all that. But I posted an actual real picture of myself and said I was 23 years old.
Oh jeez. Well, you
and
still
I've been getting all kinds of reactions from chicks from like Canada. Detroit, Texas, women like 50, 60 years old because they're at CougarLife.com.
I posted on a gay website.
Oh, I know you did because, yeah.
Oh, I have like 900 hits. It is relentless. And they hit me more than once. They send me a message, and 2 days later, send me another message. They say, hey, I don't know if you got my other message. It's ridiculous.
That's great.
It is.
That's
ridiculous.
Great. You know, I don't doubt it for 1 second. That's what I'm saying. Dr. Quinn, you need to make a couple of fake profiles on some website. I'm going to make a new one, too. I'm gonna go on that website that you're talking about.
We should have all done one on the same site.
Yes, we should, all three of them.
So when you come up with a site that we all can do one, and Dr. Quinn will do one too with her vaginal droppage.
Yeah, that
we
prolapse.
Can,
oh,
we
my
can
God.
All do it. It'd be nice. I'll
Plenty
even drink
of fish.
Some, I'll drink some Malbec beforehand. What?
I said plenty of fish.
Oh, you know.
Shit. Oh,
if it's on a Friday, it's a good thing. Lance over, but yeah.
All right, so we're going to take a quick break here, and yeah, here we go. Quinn, where are you?
Quinn.
Dr. Quinn is obviously cleaning up some more of her cat's shit or vomit.
She's trying to pick up that vaginal protrusion.
Yeah, that protrusion. Probably getting pretty stinky. Probably getting pretty stinky there.
Yeah, would you have to wash it? I mean, you know, you have to do something. Special needs? I don't know.
Well, you know, maybe right now she's busy creating some fake profile on, the internet.
Yeah.
Yes. But, you know, here's the thing. I think she has some real profiles that she's not telling us about that aren't fake.
Who? Who are we talking about?
Oh. What?
Oh,
hello?
Bam.
Hello?
Busted.
Hello? Quinn? Dr. Quinn, are you
there? Hi, I'm here.
Oh. Quinn, we're talking about your vagina when we thought you were not here.
All right, yeah. What were you doing
now
there?
I am. Please catch me up on this conversation.
Yeah, you know, you snooze,
Brian,
you lose.
Brian was talking about your vagina.
You're talking about profiles? Is that what we're talking about?
Something about the Grand Canyon. I don't know.
I did not say anything about the Grand Canyon. Oh, that was low. That was low.
Right? You're the one who said
Mama.
It, right?
Huh?
Oh,
Jesus Christ. You guys crack me the hell up, I tell you. It's like a fucking, fucking slumber party every time I hang out with you guys and do these radio shows. I love it. I'm, miss it. Sorry we missed it last Friday, but, I was on the road.
Weren't you already in town by then, or did you arrive?
Oh, it was late. I mean, by the time I got in or anything, yeah, it was late. I mean, shit. Yeah. Yeah, there was no way I could wing it.
So did anybody ever call you out on your hotel art?
My hotel art?
Are you extra scraping the cheese whiz off the painting?
It was cheese whiz and Pop-Tarts, goddammit. And it was fucking beautiful. You know, I'm a goddamn genius. I'm an artistic genius.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
One of the many times I couldn't catch my breath.
Yeah, it was Cleveland, it was a fun and crazy time. Got to give Steve Goldberg some credit. He really pulled the shit off.
Credit. He did a great job.
He did, yeah. He was a little worried about everything initially and a little stressed out, and who could blame him? But I'll be damned if he didn't pull it off. And it was, Saturday night, great show. Sunday, the crawl, even better. The crawl Sunday, beautiful. Just beautiful. Everything just,
good time.
It just flowed. It flowed. It was so fucking amazing. And, I think so many people had a lot of fun. And you know what? I almost got 86th from.
Yes, you did. And now tell the audience why you got 86 or almost got 86.
I almost got 86 from the after party at the bar there. It's called, what was it, Prosperity Social Club or whatever? Yeah, I was blowing
amazing.
A fucking air horn.
The
bartender comes out and gets up in my face. He gets up in my face, you need to stop that. People are trying to go to bed. It's a Sunday night. If you lived here or next door, how would you feel if somebody kept doing that? I mean, he was like serious, like he was going to fucking clock me. But, yeah, I was like, oh, I guess it would be shitty. So anyhow, yeah, I almost got 86.
Anywho.
But that's typical for me. I almost, Were you there, Quinn, when he was like all up in my face?
Yes, I was there.
Did you think we were going to come to blows?
No.
And how would you feel about two guys coming to blows?
Everybody knows Fougier would like the blow.
I bet Anne Frank would.
He's like a head doctor.
So, I mean, what were you thinking, Dr. Quinton, there when the bartender was all up in my face telling me?
I think he's to kick all of our dumb asses out because you're blowing an air horn. Derp, derp, derp. I didn't even were you blowing an air horn?
Well, we were all loud and boisterous and
well,
whatever.
Well, yes, and then you started blowing the air horn. Oh, Raisin, I don't understand.
I do understand. Air horns are beautiful. Air horns make me horny.
You just like the blow, Brian.
Ah, my, yeah.
Doesn't matter. Blow, blow, blow. Air horn, whatever.
Yeah, blow an air horn, you know, and get 86'd. I mean, shit.
It's all fun and games until Brian brings out the air horn.
It's all fun and games until I bring out my just me. I always piss people off and clear rooms. I'm pretty adept at that. So anyhow, God, you guys, you know, Jesus Christ. I feel like we need to read some poetry or something. I'm going to just read something random from Anne Frank.
Is anybody calling into this shit show? Or
at this point, I highly, highly fucking doubt it. I think everyone.
Yeah, can we do shameless plugs? Can I plug regardless of the tour?
Yeah, do shameless plugs. Yeah, go for it. I know you got some great stuff coming up, Mr. Gasinski.
Yes,
you and your woman. Oh yeah.
Yes, we have a project called Regardless of Authority. You can find it at regardlessofauthoritywordpress.com.
Uh-huh.
And it's art, photography, and poetry. And you know, I've been getting a lot of submissions, which is good. And I won't talk about who I've taken or who I've rejected. And all that shit. But I will say, God damn it, Kevin Ridgway submitted a poem that is one of the best fucking poems I've ever read in my life. And it'll be in our first inaugural edition.
Oh, Kevin Ridgway. There you go, Kevin Ridgway.
Yes.
News alert, Kevin Ridgway. If you hear this, here you go,
just,
man.
I'm telling you, that fucking poem was awesome.
Yeah, you got the ultimate plug, Mr. Kevin Ridgway. Wow.
Yeah, exactly. He's not even listening. He doesn't pay attention to us.
And I don't blame him. He shouldn't.
Yeah, exactly. He's too cool. But so, regardless of authority, WordPress.com, all that shit, whatever. But so, there you go. Shameless plug.
Nothing shameless about plugging. You know, this is small press. It's, you know, grassroots. It's, making connections and spreading the word, you know, nah, nothing shameless about it. Absolutely not. So, you know, I take that away from you. I take that shameless comment away from you. You know?
Damn it.
No, nothing shameless about it. It's a beautiful and wonderful thing. And, you know, God, it makes me want to, at this point, you know,
get
you guys
break.
We need a quick Puff the Magic Dragon break.
Ooh,
I mean,
yeah.
Seriously. You know, Puff the Magic Dragon, goddammit. Here we go.
In a land called Hanalei, little Jackie Paper loved that rascal Pop and brought him strings and sealing wax and other fancy stuff. Oh, Pop, the magic dragon, lived by the sea and frolicked in the autumn mist in a land called Hanalei. In a land called Hanalei, together they
There we go, ladies and gentlemen. All right. Bam.
The power queef.
All right, so, hello?
I'm here. Oh. I'm here. I'm looking to see.
We're all here.
Okay, all of a sudden it sounded like you guys were gone.
No.
I'm here.
Okay, you guys are there. All right,
you're,
yeah. So.
You're paying me to be here. I might as well be here. We're getting
paid, paying you,
right?
Yeah, you know, the shit's costing me a lot of goddamn money. I mean, fuck. You guys
are you getting the finest talent this side of the Mississippi, damn it?
All right, well, you know, how do we follow up Puff the Magic Dragon? Maybe we puff some, like, poetry? Puff or fluff? Who's a good fluffer? Who's a good fluffer of poetry? Quinn, Dr. Quinn. Who's a good fluffer?
What? A good what? I'm sorry.
What? You're sorry? Okay. All right. You know what?
No,
I'm going to fluff some Anne Frank. I'm going to randomly open up a page of Anne Frank's goddamn diary because, you know, the bitch gets on my nerves, you know, hanging out in a fucking attic and shit and hiding from the Nazis, you know, fuck that shit. Do you really believe that happened? Do you really believe that happened? Yeah, I don't. So here I go. Dear Kitty, we have used too much electricity, more than our ration. Result, the utmost economy and the prospect of having it cut off. No light for a fortnight, a pleasant thought. That, but who knows, perhaps it won't happen after all. It's too dark to read in the afternoons after 4:30. We pass the time in all sorts of crazy ways, asking riddles. Physical training in the dark, talking English and French, criticizing books. Sounds just like us. Like, you know, totally. You know, speaking English and French and criticizing, you know, small press poetry books. What a bitch. You know, how old is this chick supposed to be? And she's, like, talking like this back in 1942 while hiding out in an attic. Yeah. So, anyhow.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so, Dr. Quinn, you got...
Yes, dear.
You got something to read for us or to share?
I do. I did, in fact, bring Kat's book up from my car.
From your car, huh?
It was in my car, yes.
Okay,
it was
excellent.
In my car.
Excellent.
And so now I have it, and I found a couple of other cool poems to read.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah,
and
you know what? You're taking way too much fucking time. You know what? I'm just going to I got some... You know what I got right here in my hand? I have classic crackers cheese bits made with real cheese. I'm just going to read the goddamn back of it. And make
I'll
it
read.
Poem.
I'll read.
You're
I'm setting
punch your head
stage
in.
App.
Just let me read this, goddamn it. It's very
fine.
Important. Just let me read it, and then you get prepped. Okay, classic crackers, cheese bits. That's the title. R.J. Higgs cheese bits are made with real cheese. So every crunchy bite has that sharp cheese flavor that
Whoa.
Everyone loves. Eat them right out of the box or pour them in a bowl for get-togethers with friends. However... However you enjoy them, make sure you have plenty. No, I mean motherfucking plenty because they always go fast. Goddamn fucking cheese bits. Oh yeah. Oh god. Yeah. Oh, I just twinkied a bit in my pants. All right. All right, Dr. Quinn, I hear you coughing up another lung there. You got some emphysema or something going on there?
Smoker. Yeah, smoker.
Yeah, there might have been some smoking. Anyway, this poem.
Cutting into my H2O.
Alrighty. The poem is book from Kat's book, Static Cling, out on Dancing Girl Press. Uh-huh. And this poem is called Wedding Registry. Congratulations. You've become unstuck from your stagnant life in that apartment in Los Feliz. No longer ghosting through the stuffy rooms unchanged since I last plunked me and a gun on your rented piano. I'm sure your bride has shaken you from the bachelor funk of a floor mattress bed and hand-me-down dinnerware. No, now you're sleeping on 800-count Egyptian cotton, queen-size sheets in flannel gray and virgin white. And that bathroom, its paint peeling from the windowsill and ivory scales, has been replaced by bath vats and chrome and puke-split pee matching towels. With this, I through your linens, size placement placemat patterns, I can walk your new right through your new house into the kitchen with the dish. Will you stop that? What are you doing?
We're enjoying this poem.
Weirdo. God. You're being all weird.
I'm not weird. Wait, who's making all that noise?
What are you talking about?
It wasn't me, man.
What are you weirdos breathing all goofy?
Was it me?
Wasn't me either, goddammit. Go ahead. Please proceed. I apologize for the interruption.
Yes.
Now I've lost my place. You ruined it.
Goddamn.
Well, reading goes from left to right.
That's right. It's not a Japanese book, is it? It's not one of those like anime things where you write, you know, you watch it from or you read it from, you know, the right side over. Yeah. Okay. All right. Please proceed. You know, I apologize for his heavy breathing.
Fuck it.
Okay. Okay. With this,
okay. Compose yourself. Yeah.
Oh my! I can't.
Oh, come on, Quinn.
Come on, Dr. Quinn. That sounded like a vaginal prolapse. What was that sound? What was that? Yeah. You keep coughing like that, you're going to have a vaginal prolapse.
I am.
Wow, you need to see a doctor. Have you seen a doctor yet for that?
I got an antibiotic today, yes.
You got an antibiotic?
Whoa! Dun, dun, dun.
And, okay, wow, okay. So how'd that go? I mean, what?
I called my doctor and said, can you call something in for me, please? And he did.
Whoa. Wait a second. You
after
called your doctor and he called something
you
in for you. You have to go
weekend,
in. And you have, they have to check you. They have to put their, I mean, no.
After being with you this weekend, Brian. She was with you and now she needs pills.
Yes, that is a common occurrence. But here's my thing. You can't just call into a doctor and say, hey, prescribe me some antibiotics. You have to physically go in to their office, and, you know, the doctor has to put his chilly little stethoscope upon your boobies, you know, and listen to your heart and shit, and weigh you, and take your temperature anally. And
not anymore.
Those are few fancy people with insurance.
People with insurance? What?
I'm saying, you know, those of you who can afford to go to the doctor.
I can't afford
that
it.
That have, you know, fancy insurance and stuff. You get to go and, you know.
And get the stethoscope put upon my erect nipples.
You know, you're thinking anally, yes.
I have no insurance.
Okay, neither. That's why I'm saying. Huh?
What?
I'm saying I have no insurance on a poorer
but
mother's
neither do
mother.
I, and that's why I have a very kind doctor whom
you
I can
tell.
You have
a kind doctor, huh? Mm-hmm. I bet you do.
Yeah. It's,
oh, my God.
But
weird.
You have to get insurance this year, or else you have to pay a penalty on your taxes. So remember to do that.
Is it here? I thought it was 2014.
Oh, I hope it's 2014, because if it's not, I have to pay a penalty, too. Bastards.
Wow.
It's coming up soon.
Here we go. We're getting all political. It's what is it? Obamacare?
We're not getting political.
Yeah,
we are.
We're getting all like serious and political. Is this Obamacare?
Not,
what the fuck?
Not everybody can be rich like you, Fouché.
Oh, yeah. You know what? I'm about as rich as a piece of...
You have insurance,
you find in your lawn.
You have insurance, motherfucker.
No, I don't. No, I honestly
okay,
don't.
Okay, let's see.
But if I had a vagina, I would have prolapse. You know, shit would be leaking all out of it.
Oh my God.
Oh my God. Yeah. See what you started. See this. I'm you know, we got a doctor on our show as a co-host. Dr. Quinn, you know, and she begins to call this prolapse.
Who will kick you in the nuts, Brad? Better watch it.
Oh, Lord. Okay.
Go ahead.
All right. We got 5 minutes left in the show. You know, I'm just going to pick a random song here, take a quick break, and we'll come back and wait.
You're
you
not
going
to read some Anne Frank or something?
Anne Frank? I've already read Anne Frank, you bitch. Were you there? You snooze, you lose, you goddamn painted post, like, posy boy. All right, we'll be right back after this toilet flush. Okay, that was one really really strong toilet flush there. Now we're going to have all another right. Song here. The show has been wonderful. God damn, it's been fun, and I always have fun hanging out with you guys and doing this. And you know, again, you know, we kudos to, you know, DJ Stu, and he
brought
his A game, and
that was good shit.
Yeah, he was good. Some good shit. It really was, and you know, East Side Story, you know, his new film and all that. I look forward to seeing that. And damn, you know, on a Friday night, you know, you have nothing to lose, right? Nothing to fucking lose. And next Friday night's going to be even worse because we're all going to report and talk about our online profiles. And then after that, the next week, we're going to have another special guest. I don't want to mention the name yet. I'm not going to mention them yet. But yeah, so wow, bingo. Next Friday night will be just a fun, like, you know, free for all. You know, we talk about our
vaginal prolapse.
Yeah, we talk about vaginal prolapse. We talk about online dating and all that good stuff, and talk about our online profiles, and you know, and well, you know what? We'll start promoting it, and we'll get some goddamn poetry people on here to call in and recite some of their verbiage, or what do you want to call that stuff?
Yes.
So anyhow, thank you so much. You guys, I love you guys to death, you know. Dr. Quinn. Dr. Quinn and Mr. Gosinski, and I'm getting the countdown from the strange lady with the English accent. It says 30 seconds, so here we go. We're about to go out. Good night, everybody. I love you guys. It was a great show. Very, very great show. And, yes. Take it in. Yeah, let's just. Oh, God, yeah. Let's just go with that, yeah. The heavy, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. My left hand feels so much better than my right hand. It feels like a different person.
Oh, my God.
Oh, no. It has nothing to do with God. It's everything to do with my left hand. Oh, God. It's much more smoother. I think we're out, guys. We're just on the phone together now. Shit. No technical difficulties, and we pulled it off.
We did.
Good Lord, dude. So much fun. So much fucking fun. I can't wait to hang out with you.
July.